I'm reading Acts 2 and reading from verse 1 to 21. And if you've got a Bible, it's a church Bible, it's on 1093. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them. They said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Lord, what words, what an amazing event. Please now, by your Spirit, help us to understand what it is for us to be people of Pentecost. And as we look at your word, may it take life, find life in our own hearts, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we've had quite a do already, haven't we, one way and another. And indeed, this event, the day of Pentecost, is one that has puzzled people a great deal in many ways, and has also brought Christians to think all sorts of things and suggest all sorts of things and generally fall out over all sorts of things, I'm afraid, which sadly Christians do seem to have this habit of doing. But it is the most significant thing for the church that could possibly have been so. And it's important to get a bit of a grip on what was going on there and why it was going on. so that we can know how that now flows into our present day. Is that passage that was read talked about the last days? We're in that period between Pentecost and the last days when all of these sorts of things can be happening, as it were. But we need to know why, and we need to have a very clear understanding of what's going on. It was a pretty amazing time. There were about 120 people who were gathered there. They were a pretty strange lot in many ways. They were all sorts of conditions. There were men, there were women, there may well have even been children, we don't know. But they were gathered there together in one place, and something happened. And I think perhaps that's important to bear in mind. They were together in one place. Keep that in mind and ask yourself, what were they doing in that one place? Well, you can probably guess, but anyway. But the first question to ask is, okay, well, what's going on here? This is strange. This is bizarre in some ways. It must be bizarre because the language that's being used is language that, it's almost as though Luke, who wrote the Acts, is struggling to get the right words out. You know, it's like a blowing of a wind. It's like tongues of fire. Tongues of fire, not tongues of fire, tongues of fire. These are words that are struggling to encompass an experience that was beyond their understanding and beyond their imagination. And then they suddenly found themselves speaking in languages that they'd not learned. And more significantly, other people who were gathered, because Pentecost was a big festival in Jerusalem. It was one of the festivals where those living within a certain radius had to come up to the city. So the city was always full. And there were people there wondering what was going on. Because they heard these people praising God, but in their own languages. And the interesting thing was, that didn't need to happen. Because there was a common language that they probably all used. It was either Hebrew, Aramaic or Greek. So the significant thing, it was in their personal language. The thing that their heart worked on, the thing that their minds usually functioned in, that spoke of home, that spoke of who they were, that spoke of all their hopes and dreams, that's very important. And some of them said, well, this is a bit crazy, they're obviously drunk. It was clearly a bit of a movement here, a bit of movement for things that were not quite what you'd expect. Well, what was going on was, quite simply, God was at work, first and foremost. When God's at work, some amazing things happen. Really do. The Spirit was being poured out, for a start off. And it's spoken of as a filling. As something that completely washes through them, overwhelms them. We hear of the Spirit on other occasions being in slightly different ways. The Spirit comes on Jesus at his baptism, remember? And we're told of later on in Acts there were other sort of filling experiences, but also less dramatic ones as well. It's worth bearing in mind, the Spirit doesn't just work in one way. The Spirit works in all sorts of ways and in all sorts of experiences, and that's important to note. But they were declaring the wonders of God, and I think that's important. There was praise going on. I find this interesting. The early church was not worried about themselves. They were not thinking, oh, how are we to really go and change the world? They were not thinking, well, we're in a bit of a bad way here, or it's difficult, how are we going to manage? No. What they did was declare the wonders of God. They were praising God. That's what mattered to them. That's what was filling their hearts. That's what rushed up inside of them when the Spirit came. And that's what impressed people. Because they said, goodness, they're talking about God in languages that we can understand. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And then there was also a focus on Jesus. You notice that bit later on in the passage. I'm going to go into the rest of the passage. It's a very long chapter. Read it when you get home and you'll get it all there. But it then goes to talk about Jesus as being the reason for all this happening. His death, his resurrection, and his coming again. The fact that sins were now forgiven, that all who call on the name of the Lord would be saved, would become whole people, would have their sins washed away, would have new life, would have a new future, would have a hope into the future. All of that focusing on Jesus. That's again critical. Praise was one of the signs. The presence of Jesus as being the most important thing was one of the other signs of the Spirit being at work. And then finally, a whole new community got formed at this particular point. Because this is when the church actually happens. I know in the past I've talked about when is the birthday of the church, and I have disagreed with most people about it, if you remember. But for now, I'll forget that. This is the birthday of the church, all right? This clearly is a new community now. This, something's happened to these people that has formed them. Take Peter, for instance. You know, I mean, not that long, well, 50 days away from that, Peter was denying Jesus. Now he's standing up in front of crowds of people declaring the praise of God and the centrality of Jesus and risking all sorts of problems. But he doesn't care, because the Spirit is there. The life and the vitality of God has taken hold of him and taken hold of all God's people. It's pretty amazing, quite frankly. Let me just read you something. This is I picked up from, I don't know if any of you do Lectio 365, which is an app which is very helpful for sort of starting you off in the morning. And I think it was the day before yesterday, they quoted Eugene Peterson, the writer of The Message, or the compiler of The Message, and he said this: God gave us the miracle of congregation the same way he gave us the miracle of Jesus, by the descent of the dove. The Holy Spirit descended into the womb of Mary in the Galilean village of Nazareth. 30 years later, the same Holy Spirit descended into the collective spiritual womb of men and women, which included Mary, who had been followers of Jesus. The first conception gave us Jesus. The second conception gave us church. There is a sense in which you and I, or rather us together, are an incarnation of God. That's a bit earth-shattering, isn't it? People should be able to see something of God in our community. Should be fascinated by it. Should be perhaps challenged by it, yeah. Maybe a bit appalled by it in some ways. Because sometimes when God turns up, it's a bit of a shock. But certainly, that's what the early church was. Amazing, isn't it? What God was doing there. This is what God was doing. Okay, next thing. Oh yeah, this is just a quote I thought might help. If you're a bit wondering about how on earth did these people know it was all of God? Well, look, Pentecost was for the disciples an experience of such inspiration and worship, of such liberation and power, of such givenness and numinous quality, that means holiness, that from the very first they were sure that this was the Spirit of God. It was all of it. It wasn't just the tongues. It wasn't just the strange experiences. It was something said, God's here, that hit them in a way that just took them over, in a sense, in a way they'd not experienced before. Jim Dunn, by the way, was a professor of New Testament theology at Nottingham University, and Durham, so he knows what he's talking about. All right, let's move on. So, what happened? But why is it happening? Why is it going on? Well, actually, it's going on, if this thing will work, because it's deciding not to at the moment. God's at work again. That's why. Because God was the one who was doing stuff. But why was it going? What was it all about? Well, various things. Because of prayer it was happening, first of all. And I think that's crucial. That's why they were together. They weren't together just having a chin wag. They were praying. I'm sure of that. There's no doubt about that. Prayer is the vital, powerful thing that drives on the life of the Spirit in God's people. Always has been, always will be. And that means prayer as our relationship with him, as well as our praying for things and confessing things and so on and so forth. It's about the walk we have with God that means that we can speak with him on a daily basis and sense him speaking to us as well at times, guiding, directing, urging us on. That's why this happened, because they were praying. It's worth, I think, taking that challenge against, isn't it, for us, that we need to be people of prayer. It was also there because now humanity needed to come back in step with God, because the ends were coming. They had to, they needed saving. They needed changing. All of humanity needed it. And the interesting list of the names, have you thought that was a very odd list that was there? Everybody who reads that passage out loud has a real problem, because you know you're trying to... The interesting thing is, basically, that traces effectively the whole known world at the time. That's really the point of that. It's saying this is for everybody. Everybody needs to know this. Everybody needs to find Jesus Christ and the reality that he brings, because that breaks the power of sin. That liberates people into the sort of life that we were praying for, that Sue was helping us pray for so helpfully. That was going to be humanity needed. That's why it happened. And again, so that old divisions amongst human beings would just be washed away. Did you notice the young and the old are going to do great things? Men and women are going to do great things. These are some of the divisions that often create stumbling blocks, don't they, and problems for us. Later on, Paul will be writing to the church at Galatia, and we'll talk about how there is no bond, nor free, nor Jew, nor Greek, nor male, nor female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. That's such an important message that's needed, isn't it, in our world? I mean, if you're going to say anything about our world, it's fractured. It's broken. It's ripped apart by selfishness and greed and the lust for power that has infected our race ever since the fall, frankly. But that will be changed. That's what Jesus came to tell us about. That's what the Holy Spirit actually starts happening when we'll let him do it. And it has to start, of course, always, with God's people, because we're the ones who are going to show it. And again, I've said this already, but it comes up again. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, and that Lord is Jesus. And we need to be able, what Pentecost said was focus people upon this one person who 50 days beforehand, most people thought had just disappeared. But no, he hadn't. And now he's at work pouring out his Spirit upon them. It's Jesus that matters. And therefore, it's now a time to do something. I think that's what one of the reasons all this happened. Now was the beginning. And this is why the early church, they spilled out into the streets around wherever it was they were meeting and bumped into the crowds and started talking and speaking and saying things that people were amazed that they could do, but they did it because they were there to tell about Jesus and to do so with some power now, some reality that people could not ignore. Could not say there was nothing going on. Whatever they thought was happening, even if they thought, well, they're drunk, they knew something was happening that made an impact. And that was the power of speaking about Jesus. So, oh, what about us then? I'm worn out here already doing all this, you know. But I think certain things it's worth us bearing in mind, because down through the ages the church has experienced all sorts of things and had all sorts of barnies about what they're experiencing. Now we're going to put all that aside and we're going to say, what does God want to do now with us? Well, I think he wants us to expect some great things. That's a bit of a quote from a leading Baptist of the 17th century, William Carey, who said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. And he did, and he set up the modern missionary movement, basically running through India. But to have that sense of expectation, I think sometimes we get, naturally and properly, we get concerned about the things we do every day and the duties we've got and the pressures we've got and so on. But sometimes that can just be a little bit draining, and we forget we have a great God. We can expect some powerful things from him, some good things from him. And that's a very important thing for us, I think. We need to focus, too, on the regular daily work of God's Spirit in us. Because later on in the chapter, at the very end, where it talks about the church, the early church, it talks about the various things that they did. And this is the list of the things that they got on with. They got on with worship and praise, with teaching, with breaking of bread, with communion, with fellowship. They shared one another's needs quite sacrificially. And they did it with glad and sincere hearts, we're told. That's how to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. That really is. This is the daily thing that we need to be engaging, because this is the Spirit of God at work. That's what happened in the early church. That's what he will do now. When we come to worship, we are coming as people who are touched by the Spirit of God. When we take bread and wine, we're engaging with the Spirit of God. These things matter. These are not things you can just say, oh, well, I don't fancy doing that. This is what the early church found fueled their lives in Jesus Christ. And they were generous in their giving to one another. They were generous in their love and care for one another and their prayers for one another. All of that meant that they were a community alive that really carried a good news to people that they needed, knew they needed to have. These are the things that go on. These are the works of the Spirit that need to go on all the time. And we can do it, can't we? You know, we do it. I hope we do it. I'm sure we do it. I'm looking around, looking a bit puzzled, some of you. But anyway, don't worry about it. Of course, as we are in our personal lives, just remember to praise God in the morning and thank Him. As we, in our personal lives, to engage in care for one another. As a community, then, we are beginning to be people. We will continue to be people who are full of God's Spirit. And to share the good news. Because that's really what this was all about in the end, wasn't it? That good news that was encapsulated in what happened in Jesus and that that 120 people knew about was now launched out on the world. And within that one day, 3,000 people came to know Christ. Now, that's not bad. I mean, there aren't that many people living in Bloodsham, I don't think, are there? Well, if we had a bit of a Pentecost here and now, just think what could happen. They're not exactly flooding the streets. That's the problem. But anyway. But you see what was going on. Something of immense, powerful reality. It wasn't always like that. You read the rest of the Acts. You know, they got their kickbacks. There were people who didn't want to deal with them and kicked them out. All the rest of it. Yeah, this is, sometimes you get the impression from some lovely Christian people who are a bit bonkers that everything should be like this all the time. And the great danger with that is if you think that, you tend to try and make it happen. And I've been in meetings where there's been a bit of that making it happen. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where you get a little bit, you know, why are they lining people up and praying for them with people standing behind them? Well, they're going to fall over. Well, of course they'll fall over if you're standing behind them saying that's what you should do. You see what I'm driving at here? Be careful. But don't forget God's at work. And if God wants to knock somebody on the floor, He'll do it. And it can happen. If God wants to heal someone, He'll do that. If God wants to change someone's life, He will do that. And we need to be ready and expectant. And people just willing to see that sort of thing take place. So, just some final things. What we need to do here and now, I think, for ourselves is, engage with the Holy Spirit. Recognise He's at work. I think sometimes that's possibly what we forget. We just think things are normal. Just usually happen like that. But you know, you're alive. That's the work of the Spirit of God, for a start off. You remember the Genesis story? The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the chaos and was involved in creation. The fact you and I are alive, that's the work of the Spirit. The fact that we continue to be alive is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. The fact that you've got people here who love you, that's of the Spirit of God. The fact that you've probably had prayers offered and prayers answered, that's the Spirit of God. The fact that, well, you can think of a lot more facts, I'm sure. Just go on and on. That's God. So be open. We need to just simply be open to the more that He'll do. And also to develop what we've already discovered. I think sometimes we forget that in prayer, for instance, you know, we learn a way of praying. But there's always more to learn. We can always discover more ways of praying. And it's not just the case of sitting down, as it were, and thinking for an hour about God. There's a little, you know, there's other things that you can do. You can prayer walk. You can do some of the things that we've been doing. You can do the examine. You can do the review of the day. Whatever. But there's always more to discover, because that's the Spirit of God at work. And that passage from Romans 5 that we started with. God pours out His love through the Holy Spirit. Whatever you know of love, it's the Holy Spirit who's behind that. The love that you've got for the people close to you, that's been driven by the Holy Spirit. You're knowing the Spirit through that. The love that is evident amongst people here, that, again, is the Holy Spirit. Isn't that fantastic? Really? Isn't that amazing? That in every family here where there is love, God's at work. God's there, keeping it happening. And even in families where things have been going wrong and all the rest of it, He's still yearning to put more love into those places and into those situations, to change them for that which is good, for that which really will bless the people in it. So, and Pentecost is every day, indeed. And I think this is just something we need to just recognise. that there are amazing things that happen. And I mean, some of you probably experienced them. I've certainly experienced some rather strange and amazing and incredible things. And if you want to know about them, I'll tell you later, but I'm not going to go on about it now. But each day is the day when the Spirit of God is with us. This is a poem. I want to finish with a poem. Well, I'm not going to finish quite with a poem. We're going to do something in a minute. But you're going to hear the poem now. This is called Pentecost is Every Day. It's written by Stuart Henderson, who's a Christian poet, a modern poet, some of you may know. But this is just a very simple and short poem by Stuart. It's called Pentecost is Every Day. I share and share and share again. Sometimes with a new language, which, if you are open, will take you behind the sky and award you cartwheels across the sun. I give and give and give again, not restricted by the church calendar or concocted ritual. I have no need of anniversaries, for I have always been. I speak and speak again and speak again, with the sting of purity that can only be me, causing joyous earthquakes in the mourning soul of man. I am and am and am again. And you probably recognise I am of God there. That's what Pentecost is about. This is a passage later on in the passage. I want us to just reflect on this. Simply, because I know full well that half of what I've said shot over people's heads, and you've fallen asleep in it. Now we're going to listen to God, okay? I want us to do, you know, a lectio on this passage. I'll read it a couple of times. Just what pops out to you? What seems significant for you? You might focus on that repent thing, and it may not be for you, it may be for someone else, it may be for prayer for someone. The baptism thing, that may be for you. We're a Baptist church, after all. If it isn't for you, it should be. So, but again, that may be something for others. The forgiveness of sins for some, the gift of the Spirit, the promise, the children, the far off. This begins to make us think of much bigger things. What's God just energizing for you, just making whiz around in your head that you can take as part of your prayer away from here? That will maybe make a difference in the week that's to come. Is that okay? Does that seem sort of clear? Okay, well, look, let's just be still. Make yourselves comfortable. Jig around a bit if you're not comfortable. It's not a problem. And let's perhaps close our eyes just for a moment at least. And focus our attention on God. We want to hear from him. Personally, to be touched by him afresh. Bring all our thoughts into him and then hear the passage. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your family and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And then just a bit slower this time. What word or line or idea really rings a bell for you? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Simply take whatever the word was and just chew it over. Repeat it in your head. What other thoughts come from God that are around it? Know this is something from our Lord. So cherish it. Be nourished by it. Loving Father, every breath we take is a gift from your Holy Spirit. So as we breathe, so may we breathe in afresh your life. And whatever you have said to each of us, we ask for the ability to take it further, if that's what we need to do. The courage to become more and more what you want us to be. The joy in you that will fuel our praise. And your love flowing through us to a sad and damaged world to see your kingdom come and your will be done. Thank you. Thank you for your love and care in Jesus Christ. Amen.